Good evening, everybody. This is Ryan Wilcox, and I am the editor-in-chief of the Valley Forge here at Rock Valley College. And I am here with my partner, John Holliday, who is our sports editor.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Sweet. And this is our sports podcast, Sports 360. So we're welcoming you guys back from last week. And, well, we've got some new things, some new updates going on here. Not only in our neck of the woods, but I understand that the NBA had a pretty cool, what is it called?
The All-Star
Games. All-Star Games.
All-Star
Game. That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Literally, All-Stars.
Regular season took a break for the All-Star break, and it was pretty interesting. Let's start off with my favorite contest is the three-point
contest. Yeah, dude.
It's fun. A lot of familiar faces. Eric Gordon, previous year's champion.
Yeah.
Up-and-comer Devin Booker from Phoenix. Klay Thompson, previous
one. Arguably the only bright spot in this Phoenix Suns organization
now. They got recently acquired Josh Jackson, but, I mean, he's nothing special either.
Not yet.
So, yeah, a lot of familiar faces in the three-point contest.
Steph Curry wasn't in it?
No, he was not.
Even though he's a three-point king in the regular season?
I mean, you got Klay Thompson in there, but...
Okay.
But yeah,
one splash, bro.
And Paul George, PG-13.
Ooh,
I think he scored less points than Kevin Hart because Kevin Hart in the Celebrity Game, he scored less points. There's a GIF on Twitter somewhere of him, pulling up bricks from the racks and just.
Oh my gosh.
He got it pretty bad, but you know he scored like I want to say 9 or 11 points. It was pretty bad. You know that's not like him.
Dude, my favorite is when Hart goes and talks to the TNT crew before and after the game, and then he just starts roasting Shaq like the whole time.
He was pretty intoxicated.
He's had a couple of libations before and after,
even at
and
the
probably
Super Bowl.
During
he
the
was
game
at the Super
too.
Bowl too. He walks up to the desk and he's drunk and a couple cuss words slip out. But
that's right.
That's Kevin Hart for you.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But Devin Booker secures his 3-point contest win. With 28 points, a new record.
Remind us, where's Devin Booker from again?
He's from Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's
former
right.
Former Kentucky Wildcat.
Keyword former.
Yeah. But you know, that's the thing I like to question is because, you know, when they played the three-point contest in the 90s, they didn't have a money rack, so it was harder to get points. So.
Oh, okay, you know, that's right.
Because you only had one per rack.
Right.
You know, I was watching the 94-93 point contest with Mark Price.
Wow.
He was such a legend, dude.
Dang.
He had a beautiful release. It was just one
Mark Price.
Fluid motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's when Cleveland had good uniforms.
Legends. They were like yellow, right?
Yeah,
or like they're like crazy
blue, yeah.
That's right. Man.
So, I mean, I don't know. How would you fare him, Devin Booker, to like pass guys? I mean, without using the money rack, cuz that's where most of your points come from.
That's true.
You know.
I think it's been well documented on this podcast how my take on the 90s are in comparison to today.
Yeah.
I would actually really like to see Mark Price and Devin Booker go at it head to head.
Right.
Because not only that, but like Mark Price was special because he ran that 3-point line in his day.
Yeah.
And even just the way he shot was amazing. But now how the 3-point, you know, position is such a specialized unit now, it's a stronger strong position.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see them two go at it. I actually don't know who would win. It's a toss up. Mark Price obviously has the time and the grit, but also I feel like today there's way much like harder defense being played on that outer rim than there ever has been
before.
Because
people realize, if we guard these guys more, they're not going to score as many 3-pointers. But
yeah, you have like, what was it, that probably the best game of the first half of the season here is the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Denver Nuggets.
Right.
Where back to back were 3-pointers to finish the game where the Nuggets won in 1 point. But Westbrook had, what was it? I think it was Jamal Murray. His hand was in his face. Not only this game, but in the game that eliminated Denver from the playoffs last year is that Westbrook had a hand in the face and yet, swish.
Yeah.
And they were just going back at it, back and forth. And You can do a lot more with a tight three-point shot now than I think you could do back then.
Not to say the physicality of the game isn't as extreme as it was in the 90s. I mean, I'm not going to deny it. It was a lot more aggressive then.
Right, but it was aggressive in the paint. Right. I don't know if it was a really...
No, that's a good point.
Not as, what is it, press and...
contested jump shot. That's
right.
Yeah.
I feel like as it is now, besides... I mean,
and that's why I think...
We can call out some different NBA teams for just blowing the defense the whole time.
Right.
Where I feel like the highlights of, like, some of the lower teams just have the point guard just scrambling to, like, put his hands up near the three-point guy before he just drops a three.
And I think that's why we see, I mean, especially recently, I mean, saw Kyle Lowry, you know, going for a contested jump shot with a hand in his face. And a lot of times those are dubbed as, like, miracle shots. I mean, you've seen the highlights of, you know, Kobe getting heavily defended and, you know, still managing to throw up a shot. And
that
somehow,
perfect
goes in. But
pull up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it brings up an interesting discussion because, you know, in the 90s you had guys like Craig Hodges, Reggie Miller, some of the best three-point shooters ever, Mark Price. I mean, Steve Kerr was a Chicago Bulls
shootout. Yeah, Steve Kerr's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
He was their guy.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason. I mean, there's definitely a correlation or coincidence that the three-point god of the 90s, Steve Kerr, is coincidentally coaching Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant.
That's right.
Steph Curry now, and that's sort of translated throughout the years, and that's why they're so good.
Definitely intentional, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I'll let you on the secret. You shoot these behind this line, you'll get more points.
Check out these VHS tapes from the 90s here. These are, don't rewind them, okay? You're not supposed to, but that's funny. You know what I wish there was in the NBA game, the All-Star game?
What's
a
that?
Coaching skills competition.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun.
Who's that one NFL analyst that runs the 40-yard dash at the combine?
Oh, my gosh.
Craig something?
I want to say Craig Smith, but I don't feel like that's right.
No. But anyway, he runs a 40-yard dash in a full suit and tie, and it's always really interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was just to the three-point.
Could you imagine, like, how fast can you, like, write a play on, like, the whiteboard?
Yeah.
Or, like, how fast can you drop a quick, a pick-and-roll three-pointer?
But in the skills competition, my boy, Lauri Markkanen.
Your boy did, yeah.
Yeah, he did very well. Joel Embiid.
Embiid beat out Jamal Murray.
Yeah, but he cheated, so. He threw too many balls in that passing challenge or whatever. I think Spencer Dinwiddie of Brooklyn, he's kind of underrated. He's kind of...
Yeah, I didn't really recognize that name until the skills competition. I was like, oh, wow.
And the big one, the dunk contest.
Oh. Yeah,
this was, they had.
I heard that the cape came back out this year.
Yeah. Well, did it really?
I thought I heard someone put on a cape.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the mask.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my bad.
So it featured Dennis
Smith
Jr.
Oh, my gosh, that was cool.
Dennis Smith Jr. out of Dallas. Victor Oladipo out of the Pacers. And
what a cool last name.
Yeah, Oladipo.
Oladipo.
It's so extravagant sounding.
Yeah, and not as weird as Home Depot, but right. Oladipo. Like, he should be called the Diesel, the new Diesel.
New Diesel. He's not quite as big.
Diesel Oladipo.
Donovan Mitchell and Larry Nance.
That's right.
I think my favorite dunk... It was cool because both Donovan Mitchell and Larry Nance kind of like threw it back to. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was repping the retro Utah Jazz jerseys. And then Larry Nance was paying tribute to his father when he played at Phoenix, and he did the standing dunk. That was pretty cool too. let's see. But I think the cherry on top, the thing that sealed it for me was Donovan Mitchell pulling out the Vince Carter jersey. And trying to redo his dunk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That pretty much sealed the win for him. I mean, he has some great hangback, and he just, like, you know, cocks it back and, you know.
Right.
He's just very athletic for his age. But I think my favorite dunk of the evening was Dennis Smith Jr. through legs, 360.
That was sick.
He did it with his left hand,
That
too.
Was sick.
That was probably one of the most difficult dunks I've seen in a while. But.
Yeah. I like ended up in like in a pool in my on my couch because that was just amazing.
Right.
Who was the one that pulled out the mask?
Oh, that was Victor Oladipo. He's the Black Panther thing.
Which Black Panther, man, have you seen it?
I haven't seen
it. You have not? I need to go see it too. I've just been like crazy busy, but I'm not really good at going out and seeing movies too.
Yeah.
unless it's for like extra credit in right. like a college class.
Right.
But Black Panther opened up fifth best opening of all time.
Yeah.
With like
records
almost 300 million. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
So yeah, popular move. Pull out the Black right. Panther mask right. and take a dunk.
So yeah, Donovan Mitchell rightfully won the dunk contest and
props to Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Spirit animal. Yeah.
And Team LeBron really brought together some good players.
Surprisingly, no one got injured like we thought they were going. They all were going to get injured.
Yeah. LeBron and Kyrie were back together. Russ and KD were on talking terms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple of really good Instagram posts. That they're like at a stand distance, but they're like talking to each other. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Last year when he threw the oop to Westbrook, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that pretty much sums up the All-Star game.
But LeBron being LeBron, the king.
Yeah, he had the clutch win.
The clutch win.
I think it was the highest scoring
mm-hmm.
ever.
It yeah, was.
Combined. It was crazy.
It was like almost 300 points.
Yeah, almost.
300.
Yeah.
Who needs defenses when you can put up 148?
It was a little more competitive than it usually was. I think they upped the prize money.
Yeah.
I mean, the losing team still got well over $50,000, but, you know.
That's like chump change.
Chump change, yeah. That's what you pay for a fine.
That's what... Yeah, let's ask Draymond Green about that.
Right.
He knows all about that.
He knows all about the fines.
Yeah.
You know who does also? Rasheed Wallace.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He
Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
That's one of the greatest trollers ever.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of fines, though, recently in recent news, the Dallas Mavericks have come under fire for a Dallas Mavericks writer allegedly spoke of misconduct or abuse, and Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban was fined for $600,000 for not addressing the issue. So they're in a bunch of hot water. He got fined for commenting that since the Mavericks are doing so bad, they might as well just tank and go for a high draft spot. So he got fined for that. So a lot of turmoil in Dallas right now.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate, too. He does, like, the Shark Tank TV show.
He's a busy man.
He's just a mogul, man.
Yeah. He's a millionaire, man.
A millionaire, man.
Right.
A mogul millionaire, man.
Yeah.
But also, surprisingly, I was surprised.
In basketball news, I don't know if you heard about this, but Louisville vacated its 2013 NCAA title due to violation of the rules, so...
Which just reinforces my perspective that when you, especially like in such a sensitive, heavy topic of like sexual misconduct, like
right,
if you don't do what you're supposed to do institutionally or on a macro or micro scale, you need to pay the price.
Right.
And so, but I'm like kind of like an extremist on that side where I think like Baylor should have served like a 1 year ban.
Mm-hmm.
I think Penn State should have had more than a 5 year ban.
Right.
I don't, and what's worse is that Baylor was like athletic director all the way down
right.
systemic, like
yeah.
across the board. Like there's all of it should have been shut down.
Yeah.
But that's just my perspective. I'm glad they vacated their wins. But they get to keep their rings, which is
Kevin
like,
Ware was very vocal about that. I know Rick Pitino has a tattoo of it on his back, but
yeah,
you know, he denied the allegations and all the accusations.
Of course.
Right. I mean,
that's what they all do.
You get to keep a ring, though.
Yeah,
that's something.
But that tattoo leaves a scar that can never be uncovered.
That's true.
And this is the start of our murder mystery podcast. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
It goes back to that that documentary you're talking about SMU. 30 for 30.
Yeah, SMU. Although theirs wasn't sexual, well, it probably was, but it was because they had violated recruiting rules of where they were like offering cars and blocks of money to these players
come
to go come play football at SMU. And then finally they just had enough of all the all to the point where the governor of Texas was all entangled in this mess where he was sitting on the board of directors and like systemically let this
talk
happen.
Talk about strings attached, man.
Seriously.
Man.
But then SMU, who was a perennial top 25 AP, you know, poll. I mean, it's a Texas school, man. Right. They've got good recruits. Arguably can say have never recovered from the one-year ban.
Yeah. I mean, those
and then they went above and put another one-year ban on themselves.
Yeah.
Because of further investigation.
Those sort of things, like, will leave a scar. And, you know, after you take responsibility for your actions, like, you should in the first place. Or,
right.
You know, go to
which
full
is,
length.
Yeah. Which is probably why no one that listens to this podcast will know even what SMU is.
Right.
It's Southern Methodist University, yeah, located in the heart of Texas. But you would have never known that because they haven't been in the limelight since the early 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff
they've
hurts.
Had a couple good runs in basketball, but, you know, other than that.
They had one good year in football when they had Emmanuel Sanders as their, like, star wide receiver.
Yeah.
But that program went straight to the...
And UNC North Carolina has come under fire for allegations of their student-athletes, their basketball players, going to classes when they were never really in class.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
You know, either not fulfilling credits or whatever, and...
They weren't called mock classes, but
like
they
fake students.
Yeah,
something like that. And Roy Williams was like, you know, you're welcome to investigate. He was very, very cool and calm, and collected about it. You know, but you know, it makes it hard to be a fan when you know all that is going on.
Yeah,
know? It's just something that's lingering in the background.
I hear that,
but yeah, I think that about does it for basketball.
That's true.
Let's talk about how great the Blackhawks are doing. We played Ottawa yesterday.
Great.
We won because Ottawa's terrible, but, you know, a win's a win, I think.
I don't know how bad it is for the Blackhawks, but how bad Ottawa has to feel.
To be beaten by us.
Yeah, not only that, but they were supposed to, you know, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last season, okay? And they play, the Penguins. They played the Penguins and they lost in a... They were close. Craig Anderson had an insane year. Like, he's a good goaltender. Everything just was right for the pieces on that team. Then this year it was like, okay, they just need that extra kick in the pants with an extra player or, you know, something to kind of help push them into that Stanley Cup contention. And they started with the slump and then couldn't turn it around. And so then they traded for Matt Duchene from the Avalanche. Sent over their star young defensive prospect. There was a couple trades that went around. It was a three-team deal, including the, I believe, the Blues or the Predators. But then Matt Duchene was supposed to be, I think this should ring a bell to some NBA fans,
right,
the answer. And he, in the first 25 games, had registered 5 points.
Well.
Yeah. This was supposed to be Ottawa's, like, hey, we're going past. We're not going to be a boring team anymore. Like, right. we're actually here. And
yeah.
Then they traded their number one defenseman, Dion Phaneuf, to the Kings for a couple of forwards. And I'm just like.
Talk about a dumb mascot name, the Senators.
Yeah. Just
get something intimidating.
But not only that, you're in Canada.
Right.
And your mascot is a Roman senator.
It makes sense if you were in Washington.
Like the Capitals.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Or the Nationals, the Washington Nationals.
I know, we're playing against a bunch of Senators.
Yeah.
I'd be more intimidated by, like, an Avalanche. And you're like, run for your life. You know, that's, like,
that's right, that's right.
You know, speaking of which.
Or King Blackhawk.
Yeah.
Or Chief Blackhawk, my bad. Yeah. Wow, I screwed that one up. My bad.
But how about the Golden Knights, man? No franchise, what's it called?
Expansion team
has done as good as they have.
Dude, Las Vegas.
Talk about a Cinderella story.
I know. After what happened with the tragedy earlier last year, or later last year, the Golden Knights start their season. They have that whole issue where all the media outlets won't recognize their sports team. So all the radio, like, specific networks will not talk about the Golden Knights. And they were like, we're here for you guys,
yeah,
you know? So the AT&T Sports Network picks them up. And guess what? They're probably, I'm going to say that they're going to be the ones to win the President's Cup, which is the award given to the team
who
has the most wins.
Why wouldn't you give them attention? They're doing amazing. I know. You're an expansion team coming to Las Vegas. You know.
I don't know. It's not like they have anything else there. You
but
know.
When Oakland goes there, it'll be a big deal.
Oh yeah, everyone's gonna cover
with,
the
with
Raiders.
John Gruden. Yeah, man.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, Las Vegas, man. And they've gone through like three backup goalies, and they've had different injuries, and they have just still been able to hold it together.
Right.
Who would have? No one. That's the answer.
Yeah.
No one would have thought Las Vegas, if you were to tell them what happened to them
yeah.
this year on their roster,
yeah.
no one would have thought they would have been there.
And that would, for me, if I'm a Golden Knights player going into a new team and you know everything's you know clean slate,
right.
it would give me more inspiration and motive to do better, to you know prove everyone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, show these guys that aren't talking about us that should, you know, hey, we're doing a big thing here. You know.
And not only that, but like, just thinking about, like, you get a fresh start to win
right.
and cement your legacy in the
you
hearts of the brand new fans.
You start as the first team, and you have set the standard or the bar for any other Golden Knights team to come after you, you know?
Yeah, I just think,
feeling, right?
you know, Marc-Andre Fleury is in a perfect spot, you know? Then you have a James O'Neill, who no one had ever given a second thought. He was a solid... He bounced between the third and fourth lines in Nashville, who went to the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like number he goes in between first, second, third string, and he just is so solid, puts in the goals. You have Marchessault, who was not supposed to like be this outbreaking like you know this breakout player, but he totally has been. So you have these guys, Marc-Andre Fleury, who's definitely had a terrific bounce-back year. James O'Neill, who's scoring. Marchessault, who's solid. All these different supporting cast people. And they're holding it together.
Yeah.
They're going to get the President's Cup.
Right.
When everyone thought it was going to be the Capitals this year. And it's definitely, the NHL has definitely been a free-for-all this year, more than it has been in years
and
past.
I think that attitude or situation, you know, revolving around the Golden Knights can really be applied to anything. I mean, we were just talking about former baseball players and the legacy they left, and
the Todd father,
right? The kind of impact they've had on the teams they played with, and you know,
Derek Lee. Most Cubs fans today, like that's the thing though, is that most Blackhawks fans, I feel like, wouldn't be able to tell you who was on the team before 2009.
Yeah,
you know, but besides, like you got Jeremy Roenick. Well, that's all I... I'm not a Blackhawks fan,
right,
you know.
Right.
I could tell you everybody on the Avalanche, but...
And a great example is Aroldis Chapman. I mean, a lot of people knew him because he played with the Yankees.
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, few people, aside from the people that watched the World Series, knew that he was throwing over 100 miles per hour
Consistently.
In the Cubs World Series. You know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of legacy you live. That's what I remember him for, you know.
Right.
You know, not only did we just pick him up for those couple games, but, you know, we needed
right.
him for those. And, you know, that's what I remember him as, you know.
Yeah. And so these, how fun it is to be a citizen of Las Vegas and just to be
right.
able to take in this brand new team, you know.
And to know the Raiders are coming, too.
And to know that the Raiders are coming.
Yeah.
And
even though they belong in Oakland.
They do. Yeah. I'm.
That's either here.
I know. I just feel bad that, This is going into politics here, but that Oakland is going to miss out on all that revenue to be supporting
right.
their public works and public services projects.
Yeah.
And, you know, welfare as well.
I mean, you got the Warriors, but, you know.
Right. Which actually probably are holding their own perfectly.
Yeah.
The Raiders haven't been that great.
That's interesting that they play for two teams because they're called, you know, the Bay, but they have the San Francisco Bridge is their thing.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know, I didn't even realize how close Oakland and San Francisco actually are. Like, it's literally a little pond, you know.
Yeah,
them,
right.
You know, but because I'm sure most people in Oakland identify themselves as a Golden State fan. You know?
Right.
So,
as they should.
Right.
But yeah. So yeah, but the Golden Knights, man, they have been really rocking the NHL this year. They're just the perfect Cinderella story.
No matter what, whatever topic we find,
yeah.
we're going
to
talk
it
about.
It all
goes
back to the Golden Knights.
It goes back to
the
Warriors.
Jeez, man. Yeah. But then a couple other quick hits. You know, the Blackhawks have finally won a game. You know, the playoff chances are looking slim to the chance that they might be the first time missing the playoffs in 10 years. Yeah. Where were you 10 years ago?
High school?
Yeah.
High school. middle school.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, 10 years ago. Let's see.
It took me 10 years.
It's 2018, 2008. Yeah, I was just starting high school, yeah.
I wouldn't be in high school for another 4 years. It's crazy. Yeah.
Wow. The Blackhawks have been a pretty good perennial, which I like those like long streak records, like except for when the Red Wings had it for like 20 straight years, but that's because I hate the Red Wings,
yeah.
Obviously because of my biases, but anyways.
Speaking of streaks,
ooh.
The Seattle Mariners have the longest playoff drought. It's 17 years. They haven't gone since 2001.
You know, you think with King Felix.
From the gate to the days of Ken Griffey Jr., the kid, and King Felix, they're going to trade him.
They are. Yeah. Which is sad.
Go for broke, man, you know.
But then they also had the solid Japanese.
He plays for the Marlins now.
He does. I know. It's gonna make me so mad. It's
another bad team anyway.
Yeah, right.
Derek Jeter, man. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm still upset that they traded Stanton to the Yankees. The Yankees didn't need...
Those situations, yeah. You know you're going to do bad. She's like, hold the L and make it into a W, you know?
Yes.
Transform your team, man.
The Marlins should change their logo from an M to a W to help them understand what the goal is.
The Marlins.
Not to move people around, right. But to win.
I saw a quote from one of the Marlin pitchers about, you know, him being good. He was like, a couple of pitchers were traded away. He's like, good. I want them to leave, you know. He's like, what kind of attitude is that?
Yeah.
Newsflash, baseball's a team sport.
That's right.
I mean, when you're the batter out there, I mean, I know you're the only offense, but, mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, even on wrapping up from the NHL to baseball, I saw that the MLB is having – all of the teams on, I think, this Friday, where the Stoneman Douglas baseball caps mm-hmm. from the shooting in Florida yeah. in their spring training.
It's close to home for Rizzo.
Right. So baseball's starting to get in full swing here. And then
can't wait.
I think the only other big news out of the NHL is that Colorado Avalanche number one defenseman Eric Johnson on the same night that Nathan MacKinnon came back from his upper body injury, the same game Eric Johnson received an upper body injury and is now out indefinitely without a timetable for return, which just goes to show the mm-hmm. Avalanche have great luck in trying to hold on to a playoff spot. So, but yeah, Eric Johnson is top 25 defenseman in the NHL. So that's that hurts. Grapefruit League's going to start up soon, and the Cactus League out of Arizona. I always thought that was interesting that the AL does everything in Florida and the NL does everything in Arizona.
I wish I was in Mesa right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Shoot. That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Watching my Cubbies hit some dingers.
In the sprawling hot sun. You know. Sitting, hanging out by a cactus.
Yeah.
In a tumbleweed.
Get your Arnold Palmer.
Arnie Palmer. With actually like Arnie Palmer next to you hanging out. Yeah. Baller. But, speaking of ballers.
Speaking of which.
Rock Valley College had a pep rally yesterday for our basketball teams. The women's are ranked number 2 in NWC, NJCAA. Division 3, they're number 2 ranked. They're 17-12. And then the men's are ranked, I believe, number 1 and they're like 24-5. Like, they're really good. They had a pep rally yesterday in the student atrium. And you know, the president, Dr. Jensen, came out and talked, and the athletic director, Misty Opat, spoke a little bit, and then a couple of different coaches and players came up and just was like, "Let's do this, team.
Hyped.
Let's do it to it." Right. And then they had like hot dogs and snow cones and whatnot, and a little dance party after. But it was actually pretty cool, and it was cool to see not only just the basketball team there, but also like the softball team and the baseball team were there to cheer on their colleagues as well. As well as there's quite a few different people from advising and faculty that came down to sit in, and a couple of different students from, I think, student like SGA mm-hmm. came and sat in just to cheer them on. And I was there taking pictures on behalf of the Valley Forge.
All right. Doing your part.
our camera's pretty sweet, so yeah. I got some pretty cool pictures.
I know Nick's jealous.
And then, yeah, right, right. Yeah. And then later that day, the men's, you know, the Eagles had their first playoff game. You know, it was the gentlemen playing against Harper College, and they started off the game not well. At one point, it was 13-2, I believe. And so then they finally, Coach Lavery called the timeout, kind of reassessed everything. And I was talking to the, her name is Abby, but she's one of the photographers for Rock Valley College. And so I was talking with her, trying to like get some tips and hints and stuff and taking different pictures. But then sure enough, man, like the, you know, rebounding is their game.
Yeah.
Rebounding. It's not chips. Turnovers. It's rebounding that I keep seeing on the defense with this team. And sure enough, by halftime, they turned that lead or that deficit into a, it was like 39-39 at halftime.
Hmm.
And then by the time the second half rolled around, I think they had gotten what they need, a kick in their pants, a pep talk, and then blew the game right open.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Pappas had 24 points, just dropped like just raining threes, getting the rebounds, turning it right around, playing up the court, setting up the perimeter, and then just going for it. And so by the time everything was said and done, it was like 84-64. Like they had a lead by 20.
Wow.
And in the last 2 minutes, it was really fun because, you know, the feeling of winning settles in.
Yeah.
So then there were three monster dunks from the Rock Valley side where it just, they had alley-ooped it up, and then he just took it right to the net and just hung there. And I was like, oh, my God, these are perfect pictures.
Yeah.
So I have actually a couple pretty cool pictures of it.
Nice.
And they sealed the deal. They won at 84-64, or it was close to that. So then they'll go up to Madison on Saturday, I believe, along with the women, but they're obviously playing separate games. But the ladies have a basketball game against Madison for seeding in the tournament.
Okay.
And then they're going to stick around. But the guys also play Madison too. So
cool.
The playoffs continue on Saturday.
On
so
the
if
next
you
one.
Keep your ear on the ground,
right.
I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Yeah, best of luck to both of those teams.
Our Golden Eagles, yeah. Be cool.
Yeah.
Because then that would mean if the Lady Eagles, which we're hosting the national championships on the women's side. The guys, it's in New York, in Utica. Every time I say Utica, I think of the office.
Utica branch.
The Utica branch.
Scranton.
The Utica branch. But we're hosting the tournament, so it would be pretty cool to see the girls at least play for a national championship on home
at
turf.
At home, too, yeah. That'd be cool.
With our new camera.
For sure.
It'd be sick.
Yeah.
So.
Get some nice shots.
Yeah. But yeah, that pretty much wraps it up in the world of sports. Nothing else really sticks out. It was pretty chill compared to last week where we had a lot to catch up
on.
A lot happened.
I'm just ready for baseball at this point.
Yeah.
Give me the finals of the NBA and then, you know, straight to baseball.
I probably our closing thought here, but I saw there's a cartoonist out of Colorado. His name is Drew Littleton. Really just a genius when it comes to just, you know, penning the point.
Right.
But it was a baseball that had a door in it,
mm-hmm.
and it said waiting for baseball season to start, and there was a family like running into the baseball door,
mm-hmm.
and there was a wave, and the wave was named politics.
Yeah.
And I was like, fitting.
Yep.
I cannot wait for baseball to start either, man.
Hit it on the head on that one.
Man. Okay, hang on. There's one thing we did not. Okay, this is our closing thought. The national anthem sung by Fergie. Holy crap. How did we not talk about that?
I don't think I've heard a worse rendition in my entire life. I don't think anyone else has.
That was bad.
I mean.
To the point where no one could save face on the court.
The camera pans to first Draymond Green. And he's just got this face and he starts smiling. Stephen Curry is trying to hold it together. Karl Anthony Towns is just like, is this for real?
Kevin Hart's got his hand over his mouth.
Yeah.
And then, of all people, Chance is in the room, Chance the rapper, and he just turns around
just
and is
go
just
in
cracking
and sub
up.
For her, man. What is she thinking? You know, she commented on it. She's like, she used talking about her rendition and some hit and some miss. And I was like, yeah, that was a miss.
That was
a big miss there.
The thing you hit was the miss. That was for sure.
It was terrible.
Woo! Yeah, I knew for sure after seeing that like Twitter was going to blow up. And sure enough, it was
all these memes. Trouble and don't watch it. It's, you know.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
Your speakers will blow.
Yeah. Yeah. And not from the bass, but
from the screeching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand creative freedom and like taking liberties with some things. But if there's one thing,
far,
there's one thing you don't take liberties with, it's the national anthem.
Man.
There was better ways to do it, and it definitely was not done, that's for sure.
One last thing, though. If you haven't seen it, there was, this was on Bleacher Report. So,
okay.
There was this guy, and he was in Thailand, and he was in prison for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And he had a stream on Reddit, and he's like, he hadn't watched any basketball. So the last past 4 years, he's like looking up stuff. He's like, wow, the Warriors are really good. Who's the Steph Curry guy?
Oh, my gosh. No way.
So if you have the chance to look it up on Bleacher Report, it's a good read. It's pretty funny. So
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. If you hadn't paid attention.
Right, in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Man, these Warriors, he's like 73-9. That's insane. So.
That is good.
But yeah, that about does it for us. Thank you again for tuning in.
Absolutely.
We'll have another weekly episode of Sports 360 next Thursday around 3 o'clock.
Perfect. Have a good week, and we will catch you at that time.
Peace.
Peace out.